Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Jeff Katz, WRVA. It's a Tuesday afternoon. President Trump is apparently, I'm going to use the phrase stand trial. I don't know if that's the correct one, but he now becomes the third president of the United States to go through the impeachment process. The smartest lawyer on God's green earth, as you know, is Joe Moreno, a former federal prosecutor, an Army combat veteran, a graduate of St. John's University, a CPA in addition to being a lawyer in the United States, and an attorney in Great Britain. And his biggest claim to fame and his major accomplishment, as far as I'm concerned, the father of seven. And I'm thrilled to say that he is joining us. Joe, as always, thank you for your time. Appreciate you being here.
Jeff, great afternoon to you. So good to join you as always. And thank you for that introduction.
Well, my friend, where do we start? Are we about to see anything in the Senate that resembles a trial?
I tell you, Jeff, we're, as we speak, maybe 3 hours into the first day of this ordeal, and I'm already exhausted. I mean, it is tough to watch. It is tough to kind of take a step back and kind of assess where we are. You know, it's less of a trial and more two very opposed sides kind of talking at each other. And I think the American public looking at this must be scratching its collective head. I mean, and saying, you know, is this what we've come down to? I mean, it's a real mess.
Yeah. Yeah. So, look, you're an attorney. You have spent years poring through mind-numbingly dull stuff, right? I mean, that's looking for a misplaced comma or something that opens up your case. These people, man, they can't keep anybody's eyes open at this point.
Jeff, I mean, I'll inject some of my opinion here, right?
Uh-oh.
I think we've gotten beyond just analysis at this point.
Yes.
And here's my opinion. One guy's take, having watched this for months now, really, and absorbed this entire process. The facts of what the House Democrats are alleging really have not changed all that much since, what, September, when we first heard about Ukraine and President Trump released the transcript of his call with President Zelensky. And despite months of impeachment hearings and witnesses and media coverage almost entirely slanted toward, you know, in favor of constant coverage of impeachment 24/7, I have to think a very large portion of the country is simply not that impressed. And I think it's not unfair to say that, look, the House Democrats, they can bring an impeachment case.
Right.
They have the votes. They had the power to do it. They have, I'll say, constitutionally, maybe they're a little wobbly, but they have an argument there. And they're entitled to their argument. But I also think that when you have a majority of the country not too impressed and 100% of Republicans not impressed, and you move ahead with this case anyway, you're kind of going to get a very drawn out, sleepy, unimpressive presentation. And I think that's what we're going to be stuck with now in the coming days and weeks.
Wow. Can you tell me a little bit about the president's defense team, because he's got folks like Alan Dershowitz and Ken Starr, who, to put it mildly, are not card-carrying members of the Donald Trump fan club. They've both made clear, boy, I didn't vote for this guy. I'd never vote for this guy. I don't particularly like this guy. But they're now defending him. What does that say about the president and his case, if you will?
Well, I think in the case of Alan Dershowitz and Ken Starr, they are there to make a constitutional argument, and particularly in the case of Alan Dershowitz. I mean, he bills himself as the ultimate defense lawyer. He says he commonly does not always like his client, does not always think his client is the best man or woman in terms of however they live their lives, but his passion is to defend against government overreach. And he has been consistent in saying, you know, look, much like I said a few minutes ago, when you look at the facts of this case, I don't think it merits impeachment. This is not what the framers intended to be the kind of conduct that would warrant reversing an election and removing a president. I mean, that should be the most egregious, the most criminal, the most horrendous type of behavior. And if that was existent in this case, I think you would see a very different reaction from Republicans and the public. I mean, look, if there was real serious criminality, there would be a rush to remove this president. It probably would have happened already. The fact that it hasn't, and the fact that Democrats are still doing everything they can to drag this to the finish line, is an illustration that the case is not that strong. It's not resonating with the ultimate jury, which is the American public.
Okay. Now, the House managers function as the prosecutors, and I don't know what the real history is. I've heard reports that the president selecting some of the House Republicans, Jim Jordan, Devin Nunes, and stuff like this, to kind of be, are they like associate counsel on this? What is their real role?
I mean, that's a good way to put it. And there are some impressive members of the House, Lee Zeldin among them, who's a personal friend of mine and really an excellent public servant, among others, and very competent politicians and lawyers. I would say their role, like you said, Jeff, is sort of associate. I don't think they're going to be sitting here in the well of the Senate and actively participating like the president's defense team. They sound like they're more sort of a second round of defense. Obviously, they know the case very well, and they certainly have access to the media. So perhaps they will be the president's sort of public spokespeople. But they're not going to be sitting there directly arguing. The president does have a very formidable team to do that. So it'll be interesting to see how these House Republicans conduct themselves over the next few weeks. I think it'll be sort of a secondary role, more media-centric than legal-centric.
Okay, so not even really second chair. They're going to be the PR division, I guess, of this.
That's what I would assume. That's right, Jeff.
Okay, now what about the actual defense team? Tell me who that is. Is it the Solicitor General of the United States? Is it private people he's hired? I don't understand how that all works.
Well, so you have Pat Cipollone, who we just saw maybe 30 minutes ago, give an extremely impressive opening. It's not technically the opening statements. They're still fighting about the process. But he was really good. He spoke for several minutes without notes, really well done. He, Jay Sekulow, those are White House counsel.
Okay.
So there's a combination of White House counsel and those defense lawyers that the president has personally retained. It's not the Solicitor General. That's someone who would go to the Supreme Court on behalf of the United States.
Gotcha.
It's not the Justice Department. It's not the Attorney General. It's no one in respect of any kind of federal agency.
Okay.
These are a combination of lawyers that are personal to the president and lawyers that are detailed to the White House that are defending not Donald Trump the person, but President Donald Trump, the chief executive.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Now, what about the discussion of witnesses? And I should remind everybody, Joe Moreno is joining us, and Joe has not yet put this on his business cards, but he should. He is the smartest attorney on God's green earth with unbelievable levels of distinction. But Joe, what about the witnesses that I keep hearing from the Democrats? Oh, we've got to call more witnesses, which I personally found interesting, because isn't that what we said when they were doing their dog and pony show in the House?
Well, I think the Democrats made a tremendous strategic misstep when they failed to call and then follow up on witnesses. Because on the one hand, they're telling us right now in real time, as I'm watching this on television, how airtight slam dunk their case is. On the one hand. But then in the very next breath, they say, but it's essential we call up to, I don't know, four more witnesses, they're saying, that they need to hear from. Well, which is it? Do you have a rock-solid case and all the evidence you need to convict? Or is it more like a half-baked investigation where you did not get the evidence you sought? And it's not because, I mean, it's because you didn't really try that hard.
Right.
You never, see, the House Democrats made the choice never to subpoena John Bolton,
mm-hmm.
never to subpoena Mick Mulvaney. So it's hard to take with a straight face that it's so essential we hear from them when they, the investigators, never subpoenaed them. And that's because they didn't want to have to go to court to enforce those subpoenas. One, because it takes time.
Right.
Two, because they may have lost. So
right.
it was easier to kind of ram this case through before the end of the year without subpoenaing those witnesses, and now hoping that the Senate does their job for them. And I think it's a bad look,
yep.
and I think it really, really undermines their case.
All right, so Joe, as we close this out, let me ask you, step back in time when you were, in fact, a federal prosecutor. If you had FBI agents come to you and say, Mr. Moreno, this is what I've got, and you had maybe some assistant U.S. attorneys come to you and say, all right, Joe, here's what we've got. Are we ready to roll? What would you have told them if they came with the same level of material that the House managers did?
I would say, good try, but go back to the drawing board and come back to me when your investigation is complete.
Wow.
Don't give me a half-baked investigation and then expect me to drag it over the finish line when I'm in court. I mean, the Democrats have admitted they don't even know what John Bolton would testify to. I mean, I heard Chuck Schumer on CNN this morning say, oh, he might be helpful to the president. Well, this is your star witness, a guy that you admittedly don't even know what he's going to say,
yeah.
and yet he's your critical witness and that you're trying to shame Republicans into subpoenaing him for you.
Yeah.
I mean, literally, House Democrats could walk across the aisle back to the House and issue subpoenas right now.
Mm-hmm.
They could have done it this morning. They could have done it 30 days ago before the impeachment, right after the impeachment articles were voted on.
Oh.
They could have done it during the impeachment investigation, and puzzlingly, they still declined to do it.
Wow.
And now they insist it's essential that the Senate do it. So that's like me and my FBI agents going to a judge and asking he or she to fix my faulty investigation for me. Any judge would laugh me out of court, just like I would laugh any FBI agent out of my office
yeah.
if they came to me and asked me to prosecute a case that wasn't ready for court. So that's the way I see this. And again, I think the Democrats, they chose to do it for political purposes.
Yep.
They saw the calendar. They wanted to get it done by Christmas. And now they have to kind of lay in the bed that they've made.
Wow. This is going to be fascinating. Joe, I hope you don't mind. We're definitely going to ask you to come back as this unfolds to keep us up to speed and offer your insight. And boy, do we just so appreciate your time.
Jeff, the honor is mine, and I will come back anytime.
I love it. That is Joe Moreno, the world's smartest lawyer. He really is. He's the best lawyer in the history of lawyers. Partner at the world's oldest law firm, Cadwallader. In addition to being an attorney here in the United States, he's a solicitor in Great Britain. He's a CPA, an Army officer, a combat veteran, and the father of seven beautiful little Morenos. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.